Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast for July the 26th. I want to remind you about a couple of things. First, you know, we have drive-through communion each Sunday served from 10 to 11. You can drive through, say hi, get the communion elements, and then go home and take communion as you worship online. We will also start this next Sunday having a first Sunday communion in the Gethsemane Garden. We will take communion together at 10 o'clock. We will be socially distanced and masked up, and the medical experts say that being outside together is better than being inside together. So this next Sunday, if you would like, come at 10 o'clock. We will take communion together. Also, I want to remind you about our midweek podcast. It's generally put out about Wednesday or Thursday afternoon, and we're having a study of the book of Acts. So for this next podcast, read Acts chapters 5 through 9. Also, I would invite you to, at this time, get your communion elements together. Also, if you've got the prayer concerns off the email, have your prayer concerns ready for a time of prayer. Let's now spend a few moments as we prepare to be in an attitude of worship.
Light of the world, you step down to darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adoring, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high, exalted, glorious.
Our call to worship will be responsive, and your response will be, sing praises to God. Let's begin. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Sing praises to God. Seek the Lord. Seek God's presence continually. God is mindful of God's covenant with Abraham and with us. Today is the day for giving God all our thanks and praise. Sing praises to God. Let's go to God in prayer together. Holy God, we have so much praise to give you, and it overflows from our mouths and our hearts. You have remembered us in our time of need, and you set a table before us with your sacrificial love. May this time of worship, even though we can't be physically together, we are spiritually in your presence, O God, and we ask you to draw us closer to you as we experience the blessing of your worship. At this time, O God, we lift to you the concerns that each of us individually have on our hearts, knowing that you are the giver of grace. Help us as we seek to grow closer to you and to each other. Bless us as we call on your name. We ask your special blessings this day on all of the caregivers, all of those who help to keep us safe and well during this time of pandemic. Be their grace and guide their footsteps. O Lord, we are thankful to be in your presence this day as we come close to you in prayer. Guide us as we pray in the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Gospel train is coming, I hear it close at hand. I hear the bugles rumbling and rolling through the land. Get on board, little children, get on board. Little children, get on board. Little children, there's room for many or more. Get on board, little children, get on board. Little children, get on board. Little children.
Now is the time in worship. that we think about bringing our gifts to God. And I want to introduce you to a Marvel superhero you may not know a lot about. All of you know, I'm a toy and a comic book geek or a nerd, take your pick. But I think I've got one you may not have met yet. Of all the Marvel superheroes that have flooded the big screen in recent years, the one that gets the least amount of attention is Ant-Man. He's not big or green like the Hulk. He doesn't command national pride like Captain America. He can't do all the really cool stuff with his suit like Iron Man can. Ant-Man's power is simply that he can get really, really small. We don't think of being small as having any relation to being powerful. And it doesn't if you think of power in the worldly sense. But as Ant-Man shows us, being small can have its advantages. He's able to wiggle himself into tiny spaces, causing havoc by disrupting the inner workings of his evil foes. Big things come in small packages. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds that can wiggle way into tiny spaces, disrupting the ecology with its growth. God can work miracles with tiny things. Remember, when you give your offering, remember that God can take any gift, big or small, and multiply it ways that cause havoc on the status quo of the world. Big things really can come in small packages. A mustard seed, a baby in a manger, a weekly gift given in faith. Let's receive our tithes and offerings. At this time, you may want to stop and give your gift online or wait till later, but know that your gifts are used by your church to help create big changes through small gifts. Great big God, we have given you what we have. It may not be as much as we would like to give. It may not be as much as we should, but it is what we are bringing to you today in our faith. Take these gifts and enlarge them in such a way that those in need can find a home in your kingdom. Amen. Well, today there are a lot of forces in this world that are seeking somehow to separate us. We are physically separated, or at least that's the way it should be right now, as we try to provide safety and social distance from the virus that haunts us. But, you know, we're also racially separated as white folks and the people of color are at odds on how best to honor all lives while recognizing that some lives have been historically neglected and abused. We are spiritually separated as we struggle to reconcile our faith, our freedom, our vote. But Paul says in Romans that nothing can separate us from God's love. But we, unfortunately, can separate ourselves from each other. This communion table that we come to is the salve that heals our wounds and the glue that binds us back together. Through the gift of the bread and the cup, we are remembered as Christ's body, no longer separated by distance or skin color or theology or politics. There is so much on which we cannot agree, but we know this. God is bigger than any of our disagreements, and God is working to knit us back together. When we take these elements, the loaf and the cup, We are claiming our place in Christ's body alongside those with whom we are in solidarity. But we are also claiming our place alongside of those with whom we might disagree, those who oppose us, those who speak a different spiritual language than us. Division is nothing new for God. God has been grieving our separation since in the story of the garden, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And yet, we are told if God is for us, who can be against us? We have the power with God to undo what has been done in our separation on this earth. We have the power to undo that separation at this table. Let us share in communion together. God, we ask that you bless this holy food to our nourishment and us to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is from the lectionary epistle, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, the 31st and following verses. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes. Who was raised from the dead? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is being written, "For thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." When Paul wrote the letter to Rome, he was already dealing with the separation and alienation of the fledgling church. The church just had barely gotten off the ground when it started arguing with each other. Was the church going to be composed of only Jewish circumcised believers? Or was the church also going to admit those Gentiles, those pesky Gentiles, into the congregation of Jesus? And it almost split the church in two right from the very beginning. The history of the world is a history of human separation and alienation, is it not? I mean, we become alienated from God. We become alienated from each other. And we're even alienated from creation itself. We're making a mess of creation. As the book of Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And boys and girls, we're in a mess." Well, I made that last part up. But the notion of separation has been playing on my mind lately, as it has yours. I mean, you just turn on the news and you can't get away. We're separating into different factions, into our own tribes, into political parties. We're separating into nationalistic foes. We can't agree on which statues to keep up and tear down. The symbols of the old South, the Confederate flag, why should there be any doubt that that symbol should be gotten rid of? However, separating is something we do very well. We see it right now in our world, in our nation, sometimes even in our own community. And I ask the question, why is there such separation today? Is it more separation than there was in the past, or are we just able to learn about it quicker given the speed of the internet? I think it's always been true that we cling to the familiar and we fear that which we do not understand. You know, it's easier to find fault with the others than it is to affect change in ourselves. It's easier to blame our own shortcomings on someone else than it is to clean up our own side of the street and get ourselves in a motive that we can affect change in our lives. Our history becomes our future without us giving it a second thought even. And it boils out to this a lot of times: because we've always done it that way. Or the corollary to that is because we've never done it that way before. Those seven or eight words can be the death knell for a church, can they not? Another thing that's so hard about curing the separation and alienation is that mutual acceptance almost always demands change and compromise on both sides, does it not? I am perfectly happy for all the people who do not agree with me to see the error of their ways and come on over to my side, aren't you? But it hardly ever works that way, does it? We want the others to change their outlook, but we are so good at holding on to our own. And another reason that that change does not happen and alienation remains is that power is intoxicating and addictive. The powerful in a culture, in a society, in a world, the powerful want to remain the powerful. So, with those problems in mind, how on earth do we stop the endless cycle of separation and alienation and distrust that has infected our nation, infected our lives in this way? Well, first of all, I think it's always a good idea when you're digging yourself into a deep hole, the first thing to do is what? Yeah, stop digging. We need a pause button on all of the alienation. We need to stop the noise and get very quiet. What did Jesus do when times got really tough and there was a lot of alienation going on and trouble going on? What did Jesus do during those times? That's right. We read more about the prayer life of Jesus than any other aspect of his life and ministry. It's time for us to be individuals, to be a people, to be a church at prayer. God, what do we do now? Show us the way. We will be quiet and listen for your still small voice if you will show us the way out of this mess that we've dug ourselves into. And I think what's going to happen then is that part of the answer to that prayer is that we are going to have to try to see things from the other's perspective. Why are you alienated in the first place? It generally has to do with power and those who have it and those who are not willing to give it up and those who have no power and are desperate to get some power in their lives. And then we have to do something that's uncommon. We have to see the face of God in each other. When the guy brought his gift to the altar, what was he told to do? He said, "Leave your gift here and go be reconciled." And what does reconciliation mean? It means that you have to get right with someone with whom you're not right with. Let's start on a small scale. Think of someone in your life right now that you are just not right with and you need to be. It's time for that separation to end, is it not? Go in your prayer closet and figure out between you and God how you are going to reconcile with that one person. When you do that, then we can come together and start figuring out how we're going to reconcile our nation, our world, our community, our neighborhoods with each other. God is yearning for us to do that. Paul answered it in this passage. He said, and it's really so simple. What can separate us from God's love? And what was the answer that Paul came up with? Nothing. Nothing on earth. Listen to this list again. No. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or distress, peril, or sword? No, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, neither Democrats, nor Republicans, neither Southerners, nor Northerners, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is as simple as that. What are we supposed to do with that love that no one can separate us from? Love each other. Let's take the time of this pandemic to all go to our prayer closets and figure out with God's help and intercession how that we can change an alienated world and nation into a reconciled world and nation. Amen.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord.